All right, Squid Gang. You thought we were done? We're not done. We didn't say we were done. I know we did 9 episodes. We all have to still discuss all this. We've been getting all lots of feedback. Appreciate all of it. Lots of reviews. Want to speak on a little bit of that. Some questions, comments. So we will have more episodes to come. We'll do a little bit of talk. I do have a message about Corey. I mean, Corey is here. Yes, thank you for waving to our podcast audience, Corey.
I never know when you're recording me. So, I thought I'd just give that for the moment. But, we will be back in the coming new year with a ton of new content. And it's great to see that Squid Game was greenlit for season two. So we'll be talking more than just theories and how Johnny figured it out by the beginning of episode three.
Yeah, onto that. I did. Now, no spoilers, because I don't know if our other cohorts on the crew are currently watching, how far they've gotten. But I will say, in Corey's defense, everyone that's been saying if he cheated, if he this, he's a prediction wizard. I tested him, and he inexplicably did the impossible. He is acting like I know I told him this the other day. He's acting like he doesn't know what I'm referring to. Do you know at all what I'm referring to?
No.
Corey was watching Only Murders in the Building early on, early episodes on. I like again, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but a character entered the screen. They were on screen for maybe 30 seconds, paused it. Oh, I think I know that the person, they could be the killer. I could see that actually. And they were the killer.
Oh, I
So,
see what you're talking about. Okay. Yep.
yes. Now I think he did a same way with the front man and being the brother. He did
Thanks
go
a
off of
lot.
it. He Oh, that's Brandon. Is he on his new and improved mic? Can anybody hear him anymore? Any better? Can we test it out for the people? Can they hear you?
By the way, someone online called Corey a DB. Uncalled for.
That's another we can get into. Yeah, we can get into some of the comments. I'm also condescending twice or more than that if you ask my husband. But they yeah, so I don't know if Brandon has finished Only Murders in the Building,
Nope.
but what I'm gonna say, we also we are You Don't Know Jackie podcast, so we're also covering Yellow Jackets. We have Yellow Jackets podcast that You Don't Know Jackie View. And I'm thinking we have to have Corey write all his predictions down because I can't understand. I don't know that anyone in the world called the only in the murders. Now, I think only in the murders, only murders in the building. Like, he's using some kind of like math equation. He's got like something going through his head, a formula of this, that, and the other thing. And I know there was no incentive. We weren't doing a podcast on it. It was just, I tried to gauge from him. Hey, well, what do you think? Do you have any predictions about this? Da, 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 da. Anything? And he did. Now, I think he got off of it, and said, oh, maybe no, maybe that's a crazy thing I just said, whatever, and like let it be. And then maybe waited a couple episodes and said, oh, actually, I think that is the murderer, right?
Yeah, I
And
mean,
then, wait. And then, because I told him I didn't want to give away the ending of it. So, I said, oh, well, I think I think I did know who it was, but then maybe I wasn't sure. And, then it kind of spawned. And he texts me after he finishes it and says, oh, it was obvious.
well, you can just call me Nash. I have a beautiful mind, just without the anti-Semitism. I don't know. Sometimes, see, I don't want to ruin it for Brad. See, I don't want to ruin it for
No,
Brad.
yeah, or anyone that hasn't watched it.
Already have.
Yeah.
But all I'll say is
How? What?
when you cast certain people, you got to expect them to have key roles.
No,
And the more you
okay.
think about it, the
Leave it
more it becomes,
alone. But
obvious.
this is why, yeah, I don't know. I don't know your predictions. They could spoil it. So people did say you spoiled it, some of the reviews online. I'm interested. Jackie Rachel also was I think she's actually what was had started Only Murders in the Building, but I don't know if she'll follow through, but I don't want to give any spoilers for her either. but should we go to, I mean, some of the reviews we got some more recently. We also got some emails from you guys with some feedback. We got, you know, I don't know if you guys want to talk about any. We did get an email from our Squid Gang member, Mike. He gave us a lot of stuff we could talk about, which we probably can't go over all of it today. We'll go in the future, but I don't know if you want to take any one of these or...
Two or three things. That's, you know, we do a couple of them, you know, now, maybe some more later. But I think the big announcement that everyone mm-hmm. should know is I am no longer allowed to give predictions or crazy-ass spoilers that are not spoilers because I have not watched.
Write them down. Like you can give them to us. We won't put them out on air, right? So we'll know. There has to be some proof of like at what point you said it. Because I mean, I don't know. But Brandon, you're saying we ruined Only Murders in the Building for you right now or no?
Probably.
We didn't say anything.
But you do know that.
I've kept it very vague. Well, I didn't even tell you what episode he was in.
Well, like most things, Brandon, just like eating, will take about 6 years to finish it. So by the time he remembers this conversation, it won't even have ever happened.
Well, I don't think we gave away anything, but yeah, I mean, even if we take some of these reviews, we have Laura from Buffalo, New York. Love the show.
Love Laura.
But yeah. Well, she also thinks that we're missing one of the stars because everybody interrupts Corey.
Huh? Me?
Now, hold on. So everyone interrupts Corey or Jackie Andy consistently interrupts Corey?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that multiple people do, but they can only hear two of the people who do the interrupting.
No, I probably do interrupt you. But guys, it's for your benefit.
Rachel interrupts you. Rachel's not rude.
Depending on which show we're doing.
Oh, here we go. No, she gets a little feisty, I think. Maybe not on Squid Game. There's a word for it. I forget it now. What was the word with the poster? They looked
sassy.
Like, was it sassy? I was about to say sassy. Yeah. Yeah, sass. Oh, ooh, so she can get a little bit of like some sass. No?
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we'll be back with season two of Squid Game with a lot of the same characters. We'll bring back Jackie Johnny, Jackie Joe, and even maybe add some more of people who we found out over the time are interested in the show. So, I mean, this is only the beginning of this journey of Squid Game.
Yeah. And I do think, like Brandon pointed, someone called Corey a DB, but I don't know if they were always a bubble boy. I'm not sure if they were listening and watching, so Corey really ruined it. But I think that just happens if you're going to listen to people give predictions, you know, whether they know or don't know. You just sometimes get a little bit more insight when you talk with your friends about it. Everyone sees a little bit of a different thing from a show and you put it all together, right?
I mean, I'm a delightful bagel. Thank you.
Oh God.
Someone also called him the Anchiti. That's just stupid.
Yeah, that's true too. I guess that's because he calls himself the Entity.
You know. Proof has come out, the fact I am.
But yeah, shout out Lex1012. Amazing, such an entertaining podcast. Awful hilarious commentary. You know, I don't know if I should read through the whole review. I know they said, okay, our predictions, I don't know. How do we say this? Bocella? Very overpowering, condescending. No one can disagree with me. Very true. Viva Ruiz. Great job. Love all the predictions. Claire Bean also says that I'm condescending and they don't know how the other people can stand talking to me.
Condescendee?
Well, so I mean, I'll say we're all friends. Everything, I know we've got comments about different people in our, you know, but a lot of people do send us, I get DMs about they like our dynamic together. So, sorry if, it's not, you know, if it's not for you. Eric Melzer, please do your research and you will find that this is the best Squid Game podcast out there.
Wow.
And I think we have, yeah, delightful New York attitude and accents. So we wanted to see who had the most accent. Who do you think?
Me. I'll go with me.
Okay.
Andy.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, condescending.
LL Slush says, well, they thought it's disappointing because we clearly watched ahead.
Did they say we? So it's more than just me. All right.
Yeah, that's... they think they've clearly all watched ahead of the episode they're discussing, which is fine.
Yeah, how can they say that if that, well, I guess they couldn't hear me.
Yeah, maybe they couldn't hear you. Not agreeing with like any prediction. Somebody else, Shelby A. Legend, they are very angry. Angry face, angry face, angry face. I hate Squid Game. It's a waste of time. So I don't know why they listened to the, if they listened and they just said lots of angry faces, this podcast sucks. Not sure if they actually heard the podcast or they just are mad that like a Squid Game getting a lot of discussion. And they just like said, no, nothing Squid Game. I don't like it.
Behind the scenes look.
Fear the Wheel Man also, but said it was well done, entertaining, and informative. I mean, I think we mentioned a lot of the other comments. Vorinus 2, thank you, 5-star review, very entertaining. Yeah. I'm sorry if you wrote a review and I didn't read it, but we do, you know, there's a number of, I don't want to just sit here reading all reviews.
And of course, you know, we want to thank all the people of the great country of Turkey, who apparently we were number one there at one point. And we do appreciate all of your guys' support.
True.
We're like a baseball team, analytics, a beautiful thing. But you said you had a couple of questions.
Yeah, I do. From Mike. Yeah, we have a lot of them, but. There's something being brought up about, I'll start from the beginning so I don't miss anything, but the manager in episode 2,
if you just follow the rules, you can leave this place safely with the prize money we promised.
Basically says, if you just follow the rules, you can leave this place safely with the prize money as promised. But in what ways is this statement proven to be accurate or inaccurate as the show progresses? Yeah, because I guess like, you know, just following the rules, you can still lose. I think was his point, you know, like things happen that are out of anyone's control. Like you can still be, you know.
Well, I mean, I would say though, I think that's a huge hint for what happens at the end of the show where Gihan, you know, basically calling them and saying that he was going to take them down and everything. If you follow the rules, you'll be fine. But if Jihan's going to go and try to go in possibly season 2, try to take down the game, there's going to be consequences. I think that's just kind of a foreshadowing of that. I mean, I think that's a great example of that. I mean, maybe you guys disagree, but I think that's one.
Hmm. So that's how it's accurate, you're saying?
Accurate. If he, you know, if he puts his head down and you know, just enjoys his new life and his red hair.
Yeah, but the rules, I think, the rules were those three rules you had to follow, right? Not to quit, not to, you know, whatever. You can't, wow. There was only three rules. I'm like, what were they? But, you know, I know it was basically like majority had to vote if you wanted to end the game.
Consent form clause 1. A player is not allowed to stop playing. Consent form clause 2. A player who refuses to play will be eliminated.
Consent form clause 3. If the majority agrees to stop playing, the games are allowed to end. Or am I wrong?
But I do think, though, it's the idea of which, yeah. Gihan and many people...
You cannot stop playing.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the idea of what Gihan and others try to do multiple times where they want to take another vote. And if they did vote to end the game, yes, they would have not gotten anything for their trouble, but they would have lived. And it was still based on the idea of greed, you know, with player 218, which for a moment, I forgot his name again. But I just think it's
Sang-woo.
Sang-woo, thank you. Sang-woo, you know, got so enticed and by the money and by, you know, getting out of the hole he was in, he couldn't see any other way out. So if he followed the rules, he could have lived, but he made a choice. And it's kind of what.
Yeah. Well, I think like too, if you're taking this statement literally that like, if you follow the rules, you can leave safely. If you go to play tug of war, half the people are dying in tug of war.
True.
You know, you're not following the rules. It's just, you know, you won't be able to get out of there safely.
Well, I mean, if you follow, I guess in his mind, following the rules means being the best at what you are. Mm. And the best will always come out on top, I guess. You know, whole idea is survival of the fittest. And it's one of those things where the common theme of this whole entire show was Gi-Han always survived with like zero time left on the clock. So, you know, he did everything he had to do to survive. And he followed the rules in his own way, I think. I mean, I might be stretching like usual, you know.
So, but like along with this, you know, follow the rules, whatever, it's what does this show say about the capitalist ideal that anyone who works hard can be successful as long as it is a fair playing field?
That's interesting. I don't think that.
Listen, sometimes people, there's so much to do with luck and being in the right place and doing, you know. It's like the sliding doors type of thing, life, don't you think?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's interesting where you go.
Butterfly Effect. Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
not a great movie. Interesting concept, not a great movie.
No, the concept, though, I don't know what you think. I mean, I think sometimes it's a little bit dramatic that, you know, the tiniest thing, it wouldn't change your whole trajectory. But there are some, like, decisions where you could see, well, which way am I going to decide this? Which think that they're, you know, big decisions. Oh, you know, move to this different state, move to a different country, get, you know, oh, pick this job versus that job. And who's to say that doesn't change a whole slew of things in your life, right?
I didn't feel sliding doors was all that great either, but I feel like it gets referenced a bunch.
I just mean the concept. I don't think I saw the movie.
But I mean, yeah, I think it's the, and this is something that I don't know if it's one of Mike's very interesting questions, and we do appreciate his feedback, as always. The idea of, I believe it was, I don't know if it was Jackie Joe or Rachel who brought up the idea, you know, is the front man basically, you know, honest on like what he's like a lot of things he says. And like, and once you find out he was a former contestant of this, you know, some of the stuff where he was saying, you know, democracy and leading to the best possible solution, by him winning the game, he got a better life. And we could all say, you know, his decisions afterwards of being, you know, basically in his, you know, finding out a way in his own mind to not think of himself as a killer, but he went and became better based on the opportunity that he got. So, you know, I think it's interesting on everyone has a different point of view on how they're looking at this.
But everyone, yeah, well, then again, but everyone can't be the front man either.
It's true.
Right?
And I do find it interesting. One of the most, I think one of the most interesting characters, the front man, we still know very little about him. We know that he's the cop's, you know, the cop's brother.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, you know, he was there at the end when player one dies and, you know, he was there. He mostly is going to have more power in season two, but for a guy, like, I still think his story is going to be super interesting on what developed his ideas for everything and the idea of, you know, not letting anybody see who you really are and a lot of these other concepts, you know?
I will say that it's interesting, right? Because, like, I don't know, we've spoken about this before, but, you know, the concept for the show for the first season had, you know, came up in 2009. He wrote it, right? And now, you know, I don't know that he had any ideas of where he would go with it after. And just the way that it was like, I don't know if he was holding off, agreeing to season two because he didn't, you know, you know, just holding out for more money, capitalism, there you go. Or, you know, what? It is interesting because think of how much like blood, sweat, and tears and everything that went into you writing that first season and, you know, working on the first season. And we could talk about if people want to bring up there's like all these little like Easter eggs and, you know, things connect. So we're saying how the deaths are foreshadows, you know, in the last episode, we were talking about that. But, you know, it'll be interesting if season two, if it'll be as detailed, if it'll fall flat, you know, just based on, is it like you're doing it because you love to do it and you want this story, you know, you're like, oh, this is like has meaning to me. I see this whole thing. I think he was down on his luck, right? Writing it maybe had like a big connection to the story. How is your connection to the story when you go forward to season two? But I do want to know, like you're saying, about the front man, the guards. Like, I feel like there was so much left unanswered.
Yeah, and I mean, your point of how his perspective and how the show could change now that he is a success is, you know, kind of like when you listen to, like, a new band. Their first mm-hmm. album can be so much different and so much edgier and more rooted than, you know, their future albums because they're coming from a different place. And just like, you know, anyone, when you're younger, you have one perspective. And as you get older, your perspective change and your views change. I mean, like, I know I ripped some of the show for maybe little things, but, you know, when he had this, most likely when he had this initial idea, he was just writing key points to get from point A to point B. And the idea of maybe certain things falling through the cracks weren't as big of a deal, just getting the initial idea out there and then continuing on to see what it could be. I mean, and I'm sure that he won't be the only one in his writer's room when he's doing this. I mean, I don't know exactly how, you know, Korea does stuff with like writing rooms, like with the US and showrunners and stuff. But I mean, I think it'll be really interesting about how he accepts other people's ideas and what he wants to do. Because like I said, early on, what kind of came out was the season two could be about not even the game itself, but about the front man, mm-hmm. about a lot of things we didn't do in season one. So, I mean, I do wonder how.
Yeah, well, I do think you have to follow where Gi-han is going, right?
True, but I mean, you know, one of the things that, you know, I believe Jackie Rachel or Jackie Joe had said in our final episode of season one was, you know, the timeline-wise, you know, with if this was a year later, I mean, how much stuff was done in the interim? I mean, like, you know, you have the idea of, I think we made the joke that, you know, the cop is alive if, you know, if we wound up getting a season two and, you know, mm-hmm. he'll all of a sudden mysteriously be alive. And maybe when you came about with the, if there's only going to be one season, that was something like, all right, we end that part of the story and mm-hmm. we move on. And apparently,
yeah, you know, well, it's open-ended. I guess people can assume what they want, right? But in season two, you'll probably get an answer on it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But I think, I mean, this goes for his question and maybe for even writer's rooms and for Squid Game. He said, is it a better strategy in Squid Game to be selfish and work for yourself or to team up with others? In the writer's room, should he be selfish, take it on himself, or the input from others? Because I think that's what you were, you know, I think there's some value, right, in having more voices and stuff like that. There is with anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Brandon can hear us at the moment, but... Brandon, I mean, it's for someone who's.
I feel like it's like just us, yeah, having a podcast. I thought we're missing some people.
No, I was going to, obviously, it could go the other way to too many cooks, you know.
I mean, like I said, because Brandon, you're someone who's actually been part of the creative process, you know, than certainly I have, you know, by directing and, you know, overseeing editing and doing all these other parts. What's your thoughts? Do you think that he should go and take more ideas and change what was a success? Or do you stick with the general principle and you know these characters, you know this story better than anybody else will?
You've stumped him. No, I think it depends
because I don't wanna give a lame answer, but what I was just gonna say it depends. And yeah, similar to the Squid Game show, those characters. It depends on the game. It depends on the moment, right? There are going to be instances where you should be selfish and there are going to be instances where you should be more of a team player. Whatever's best for the,
mm-hmm.
whatever's best.
It, you know, right. Like if you have something, but I think I know that wasn't really his question. His question was in Squid Game, So I'll take my stance that I think if you do decide to work with others and, you know, not be selfish to, you know, to team up, eventually the way the game is made is you're going to have to turn on those people that you've teamed up with. That's how they've designed it. And I don't know if it's right. Is it some kind of, is that how the world is designed? Is that how, you know, can only so many people get to the top? So many top, like, Fortune 500 CEOs, you know what I mean? Like, what's the elite, you know, is there only going to break through this small percentage of people, and all the people along the way are just using them to step on them? Like, is there some kind of meaning in that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and not to be a cheap plug for one of our other shows, but we're talking right now, we're doing Yellowjackets, the Showtime show. And it's going to be interesting, and like in that respect, of how these, you know, girls are going to survive by either working together or, you know, as we see like in the future with some of these characters, how they've basically have just done whatever it takes to survive on their own. So it'll be interesting to see how, like, from watching one show to the other.
Who's going to get eaten?
A little bit different, though, because I think, like, it's not like only one person has to survive. You know what I mean? But, sure. Like, can everybody survive? You know, everyone, you know. But he brings up the anonymity of the guards is supremely important. And, like, in fact, the guard is killed when his identity is exposed. Why is it so important for the guards to be anonymous? How does this compare to the Milgram experiment in psychology? This is something I know I didn't bring it up on the podcast, but I was thinking about it. It's like when I think they took, you know, they take a group of people and they made half of them prisoners and half of them guards, and just like the psychology of like the fact that you are the guard, how that affects the way you behave. Cause it is, it does remind me of that. These people just go along with it. It's just like a power trip thing, you know? I think it is very similar, and that's why I'd like to see more of how that developed into that in season two. That would be interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that the idea of keeping their identities is a really interesting concept. And I think it's most likely is for the idea of once you go into the outside world, there's no vendettas that are held against the guards or, you know, the front man or the, you know, or the different people where in their mind, this was just basically like a social experiment. And, you know, whoever survives gets a better life, but you don't want to go and have interactions and have these people, you know, have problems afterwards. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'm sure that we really don't care about most of the guards because we don't know who they are. But I mean, I think, though, if you did show who these people were and the players knew who they were, I mean, if you get on the outside world for the, you know, the people who survived.
Yeah, well, only one person is making it out. I mean, unless they take a vote and they end it, then more people could be out. So it's like, yeah, you never know. I just don't. Yeah. Why have it so strong that they need to be anonymous? Does it make it like, do you feel that you can get away? Is it more like one of these like keyboard warrior scenarios, right? Like if you actually saw someone face to face, and or if you're writing comments about them on the internet, like some people get, you know, very brazen with their attacks on people because they feel like the safety behind like a fake picture or a name and the, you know, a message board or something.
Right.
Versus if they had to do it really. So, I mean, if someone, oh, they don't know who I am, I could be anybody, right? I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Like, yeah, I think this is sort of connected. How does the treatment of the players compare and contrast to being prisoner? Is there an attempt to compare poverty to being imprisoned? You know,
I can see that. I mean, I don't think we spoke about it a ton, but I mean, this show is all about classism. I mean, how the rich look down on the poor and kind of the theory of, you know, if you're able to become rich, do you give up all of your core thoughts and, you know, values in order to become the elite that we all look up or look down on, depending on who you are? So, I mean, I made the joke of, you know, the host, I mean, the the judges, I mean, I forgot what they were called. The VIP, I'm sorry, the VIPs were, you know, Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson and all the millionaires out there. But, you know, it's the idea of
billionaires.
Thank you. And how much they help their workers in Amazon, but that's another subject. But I just think it's a fascinating look at how the rich look down at the poor and think that just little scraps that they give will make the poor care more about them and, you know, want to be like them. So, I mean,
but also like, yeah, and almost like, but you're trapped by that too, by like money controlling so much, right? That you're a prisoner to a job or this, you know, like, you know, just to survive basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that we've, you know, kind of a lot of people have readjusted during this unfortunate pandemic that we've been through the last year and a half on, you know, what's actually is important and how can rejudge your
preach, Corey, preach.
My last day is tomorrow. restructure your life to make things work by working at home or finding another avenue to do something, and you don't have to rely on, you know, the current situation you're in. I mean,
yeah. But the less money you have, the harder it is for you to do that too. You know, not have a cushion, stuff like that. But we do, yeah, we do have more questions, but we will, you know, reconvene. We want to have the rest of our crew on, maybe some other people. Tell us, you know, what you want to hear. If you guys have, topics about Squid Game that you want to hear about, for, you know, I don't know if Corey can make predictions for season two. Are we allowing him to do that? Not sure. Let us know. You don't know Jackie podcast at gmail.com. Tension Squid Game, Squid Gang, whatever. We got, shout out. We got emails from also our Bob and Marco, I believe. Thank you very much. So our social media, You Don't Know Jackie podcast on Twitter. A lot of nice comments on Twitter. I'm just very appreciative. You know, maybe next time we'll go through some of the other comments. I'm sorry if I didn't, you know, read, your comment or review. I mean, definitely if you leave a review, I will then, read it next time. So, any other, Corey, AEW, are you going to be talking AEW or no?
that is the plan. I mean, life has gotten very complicated with all of the great new podcasts that we're doing.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts. It's the holiday season right now, so.
So hopefully in the new year or even sooner. I don't know.
Yeah, Let's Talk AEW stands for Let's Talk About Elite Wrestling, Instagram and Twitter, everywhere you get your podcasts. You can look it up, follow it, and just see if anything pops up if you're a wrestling fan or a fan of AEW.
And, you know, I just want to say quickly, you know, I do appreciate all the people that have given our show a chance and the people who heard the introductory about Yellow Jackets podcast, You Don't Know Jackie View. We are, you know, floored by all the people who have given us a chance. I mean, at the time of this taping, I believe Yellow Jackets is the 155th podcast on under TV and film on Apple Podcasts or whatever it's now called. I mean, so, you know, as Jackie will often say, you know, we're not exactly the professionals here. For, you know, a show that nobody has any right to even know to exist, we do appreciate all the comments and everything that you guys have done to help us grow this show and hopefully in hand grow the flagship show, You Don't Know Jackie, as episodes continue to come out on that in the near future.
Yes, thank you. Hope you enjoyed the epi.
Bye.
Bye.